Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Our show tonight features a walk down memory lane from Miami. And we also have a very tender email that we received. We also have our mailbag of the week, and we will have our featured alcoholic of the week. All ahead tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll also analyze Senator Kerry's new campaign slogan, Let America Be America Again. Dean Wheeler joins us. Mr. Wheeler has been prominent in the news, both in the Bay Area, here in Southern California, nationally as well. He is the director of the Power Yoga Institute in Novato, California. But, Mr. Wheeler, there have obviously, as well, been a couple of stories in the Bay Area and some, as I said, nationally, about accusations from three women of sexual harassment, instances of fondling.
If I can interrupt you, Phil. First of all, my understanding was that I was going to come on your program and speak a little bit about the war in Iraq and George Bush's criminal handling of the international community. I was not told.
I believe my producer said we were going to ask you some questions about this court case that you're involved in.
First of all,
why don't you want to answer the questions?
Because your support for this illegal war is well known, and to have me on your program to highlight alleged negative behavior at our institute, I think is a little bit of ambush journalism.
The reason why we're having you on, sir, is that you're a prominent and nationally known member of the anti-Iraq war movement, and this is something that's not obviously going to be easy to downplay.
Well, with all due respect, again, your support for that illegal war is well known, and to have me on your program to highlight alleged negative behavior at our institute is ambush journalism.
Well, you're welcome to leave the show if you want. You can hang up if you want, but we're still going to talk about it.
I can tell you right now that anything that is stated on your program tonight is going to be certainly taken under consideration by my attorneys.
Look, the accusations are two women claim that during a period of a yoga class called hands-on correction, they were fondled in a sexual manner. I don't know what hands-on corrections are.
Hands-on corrections, this is when the student who does not understand what you're saying, you have to physically put them in that position. And the word is if, I touched them in a sexual way, if there was an inadvertent touching or massaging, as I told Jerry Hunt over at Channel 5, it is nothing compared to what our soldiers have done to the Iraqi people in those abuse photos. And for you people in the media to be singling me out at a time, really when the most degrading behavior in U.S. history by our soldiers has been recorded, I think you show your pro-Bush stripes.
I understand your opposition to the war, and I wasn't too, but I want to focus for a moment on some of these claims. Like a woman who says she was at only her second class. This lady was pregnant. She claims that her breasts were fondled during one of your hands-on corrections. So you can talk, if you want, about your opposition to the Iraq war, and we can do that, but you are prominently featured in the news.
All of this is going to be addressed by my attorney, and it's unfortunate. We are, right now, I think what this is a transparent display on your part to bring me on your show, despite all of the work that I've done educating the American people as to the illegality of George Bush's oil war.
You think I'm ambushing you because I'm in favor of the war?
Well, absolutely. And you'd rather talk about me in a slanderous way, and I would like you to, again, I'm going to underline that word, slander.
You are welcome to sue me.
Well, I will certainly inform my attorney of that.
You are welcome to sue me, sir. I'm just reporting what is recorded in the public record. And I'm asking specifically about Kathleen Dunston. She says you fondled her breasts, this pregnant woman.
I was trying to get her to drop her ribs so that she would be exercising with much less tension. Anyone who practices yoga understands this, especially being pregnant as she was. And in order to do that, you have to make contact with the chest or with the breast area.
Well, you claim that you looked at her and smiled as you were, as you say, lifting her chest, correct?
I had a moment of contact with one of my students that I think gave both of us pleasure.
All right, well, right there, you're admitting to it.
You want to crucify me for that and ignore the fact that these prisoners in Abu Ghraib prison have been forced, they've been force-fed pork and liquor. These are Muslim prisoners who have been required to fondle themselves in front of female prisoners. They've been forced to eat out of toilets, and I want to tell you, you are the only member of the media that I've spoken with who's completely out of step with the American people on this. I have a letter that I'd like to read.
All right, well, hold on. I'll let you read your letter, but I want to get my phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm a little bit tense here, only because I don't want to slander you, sir. I don't want to. Believe me, the last thing I need is to get into any kind of legal problem. But the fact is,
well, then watch what it is that you're bringing up on your program.
Well, these women have alleged that you fondled them. You admit that you had a moment of pleasure.
Yoga is about bringing into balance the body and the mind. It is not about sexual harassment. When I touched Kathleen's breasts, it was a moment of pleasure that we both had.
And then why is she reporting this to the media as sexual harassment? Why?
I think she's been co-opted by a lot of the Bay Area media and a lot of the pro-George Bush media, and has been for...
Oh, come on, are you telling me that this woman is saying this because she's in favor of George Bush? Because she wants to lambaste you? You said, you admitted it, that you touched her breasts.
Phil, what I...
You didn't you admit that?
I'm not going to stay on your program if this continues to be a kind of an ambush report here.
Sir, I don't think I'm ambushing you. If I was ambushing you, my producer never would have said to you, we want to ask you about some of these things. Now
look, Phil, again, and I'm a man who believes in the international community, and what is being done to the prisoners in Baghdad is a violation of every decent international norm. American soldiers have force-fed them feces. They have made them walk, eat pork and all of this. You want to bring up... This instance with this woman.
Well, there's three of them, and whatever is going on in Iraq is going to be investigated too. It'll be determined.
I've got a letter that I'd like to read to you from Thea Hughes.
All right, she's one of the women who alleged that you fondled her.
Allow me to finish. I've got a letter here from Thea Hughes in which she says, and I'm quoting directly, "While it is upsetting for me to realize that you groped me in the middle of our," and she calls it the sun salutation, and that is simply when we assume positions that are toward the sun. When you grope me in the middle of our sun salutation, I realize the current situation with our soldiers committing war crimes against innocent civilians is a much bigger issue and much more deserving of the public attention. So even there, Thea admits that while I did, in a moment, if you want, of weakness, take some pleasure.
You grabbed the woman's breasts.
I took some pleasure in a moment of weakness that I'm sure she enjoyed. She is saying, and I'm telling you right now, I'm very angry.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry if you're angry.
She is saying that our soldiers are committing war crimes against innocent Iraqi civilians, and me... touching her breasts or fondling her in any way is not as important as what happened to these poor people in Iraq. And for you to bring me on your program and...
War crimes are international violations, sir. They are not violations of military conduct. We are not talking about international war crime.
You can call it anything you want. What was done to the Iraqi people, I may have a problem... or not. I find many of my female students attractive. I think they find me interesting. And while I'm touching them and correcting their positions, if my hand wanders to an area that is a private area of theirs, and I take some pleasure in that, are you trying to tell me that's somehow... Why would you even want to talk about that when what we're doing in Iraq is so much more of a violation?
Sir, you're putting me on the defensive now. You're making me feel like I'm interrogating you.
Well, you should be on the defensive because you're out of step with everything the American people are thinking and feeling right now. These abuse photos are the worst thing most Americans have ever seen. And you want to talk about sexual harassment in the workplace? Or you want to talk about a woman being, felled up? Those of us, the American people, who see this war as illegal, know that Bush's oil war is a crime in and of itself. And for you to talk about me in a moment of weakness... touching a woman's area, her pubic area, if you will.
Do you admit, sir, that you fondled these women?
Phil, what I admit to...
Do you admit that in the case of Thea Hughes, you fondled her buttocks? In the case of Kathleen Dunston, a pregnant woman, you fondled her breasts?
The American people are laughing at you, Mr. Henry.
Do you admit that at your yoga institute you sexually fondled no less than 15 women over the past 3 years?
Mr. Henry, you are in denial. The American people are laughing at you.
Can you hold on, sir?
Certainly.
I don't know what else am I supposed to get out of this guy, Janice. I don't know why we got the guy on the show. I mean, he's not going to come clean with anything. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If I'm being unfair with this man, I'm asking him. He's a prominent member of the anti-Iraq war movement. He's also been accused by three women of sexually fondling them at his yoga class, and I'm asking him about it. He even said, if I took a moment of pleasure, I've never heard a guy accused of sexual harassment describe it as taking a moment of pleasure. It's nothing compared to what we're doing, and I'm quoting, to the innocent Iraqi civilians who have been victimized by the war criminal Bush. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here in the Phil Hendry Show as we, I suppose, I guess we're comparing what's worse, war crimes or a guy at a yoga institute up in Mill Valley fondling women. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Talk Radio Speed Trap. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I don't want to talk about my career, sir. You can do.
I'm just telling you that I do have a great many friends who have joined us in our call for the United States to pull militarily out of Iraq, and they are people who work in the entertainment industry. And I'm very, very familiar, Mr. Henry, with your efforts at being on television.
Hey, but just so you know, sir, I've never made any effort. They've called me. Everybody in TV has called me and asked me if I wanted to do something. I never went out and peddled any project, okay? I don't care if I have a TV show.
Well, I would be very careful if I were you in talking to me about whether or not I sexually harassed women or fondled them is nothing compared to the brutality that has been so indiscriminately applied to Iraqi civilians who are...
You don't know whether they're Iraqi civilians, whether they're combatants, sir. We don't know who those people are.
I can. They're probably innocent Iraqi civilians, though.
Oh, really? They probably are. Is that right?
Well, but even if they aren't, to have a man be stripped naked is... And you want to focus on... Many of the women that come to my yoga class, Phil, are willingly... Obviously, they're there willingly.
It doesn't mean that you get to, quote, take pleasure by lifting their breasts up if you're showing them how to do the sun salutation. I don't even know anything about yoga. And
well, that's the first honest thing I think you've said. You don't know anything about what I'm talking about. When you are outspoken and brave, and I do apply that word to myself, I do feel that I'm brave, to take a stand against the war, you leave yourself open to attack, and that's what's happening to me.
And do you think you ought to be able to just fondle women?
I think that there should be some liberties given to those of us who are taking a brave stand against the war. I'm not saying rape, and I'm saying I would think that a lot of these women would be, I suppose, honored in a way.
Honored to have you fondle them?
No, sir, not honored to have me fondle them, but honored to have a moment of pleasure transmitted in our class during sun salutation.
1-800-449-8686. Go to Jenny. We have callers on the line, Mr. Wheeler, who are going to want to talk to you. Jenny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler from the Power Yoga Institute. Jenny?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I just want to say this guy's a complete idiot. I think if he thinks for 1 minute that what he's done is any
You know, Jenny, I can't even talk to you. You don't even sound like you're at my level of education.
If you think that is
you
any less of a crime
on my level of education.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Women that I deal with are educated women. They are mothers. They are people who
trust
have
me. I am
college.
Educated, whether you like to believe it or not.
I don't perceive that.
You don't want to deal with educated women because you want to deal with women that
calling
will
me an idiot
you.
Showed your level of education. You started your comments with a personal characterization, calling me a name, so it shows.
Yeah,
that you
you're an idiot.
You
and you think
it,
for what
you
reason the American people are against all of this?
All right, Jenny, thanks a lot. You suck. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Lewis.
I appreciate that. But
well, you know what? I'll let you. You know, I'll give you one. Go ahead, Lewis.
Okay, this is real simple. How dare you? How dare you go out there and compare yourself or say that you're a brave individual because you're out there fumbling and having sexual pleasure.
Wait a minute. I am opposed to the illegal war in Iraq.
You're talking to me. I was there. Where were you?
I'm certainly not in Iraq fondling.
I've been in the Marine Corps 22 stinking years.
Were you fondling?
Are you sitting your foot down watching things on TV? I was there. First-hand experience. Been there, done that.
First-hand experience of using Iraqi prisoners.
Been to Somalia. Been there, the freaking Persian Gulf, one and two, and then you're going to sit there on your fat dulcet butt.
I'm not to be feared, but the American soldiers who forced Iraqi prisoners to be humiliated are to be feared.
You don't attempt to touch my shoes.
And obviously, you, Mr. Henry, have stopped these calls.
To keep the American freedom.
I don't even know if I can keep going with this hour, because nobody's listening to anybody. You know? Well, hey, Lewis, hold on for a minute. Mr. Wheeler, I'll let you respond to what this man's saying, which most of the first... Basically, he said
Well, I noticed that he and the last caller, it's all about them, okay? Lewis is talking about himself. The last caller was talking about herself. I'm talking about the world community of people who are outraged at George Bush's oil war. I represent people. I don't represent myself. And I'm not to be feared, but a gentle caressing of a woman and a son's salutation is a beautiful thing. And the American war criminals in Iraq are committing an international war crime.
A beautiful thing to fondle a woman.
It's nothing compared to the international war crimes of the criminals of the war in Iraq.
1-800-449-8686. Kelly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Kelly?
Yes.
Go ahead,
ma'am.
Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Wheeler, are any of your yoga students happen to be like devout Catholics, say?
I'm sorry?
Do any of your yoga students happen to be devout Catholics or Christians?
I don't get into people's personal lives like that.
Okay, well, you compared, or you were insulted that your...
You just fondled them.
...moment of pleasure was taken into comparison with Muslims being force-fed pork and liquor.
Absolutely, yes.
And, a moment of pleasure leads to other things. So you can talk about...
Wait a minute, Kelly, you don't understand. He fondled these women against their will.
That's what I'm explaining, is that these things can lead to other things. So, these women, from their moment of pleasure, can end up pregnant.
Wait a minute.
This was against their will. So if they got... Are you talking about rape?
I never raped anyone, Mr. Henry.
I'm not saying that,
but I guess she's referring to that.
Look, the only reason I'm being attacked is because I'm against the war in Iraq.
Not because you fondled women?
No.
Because the American people don't care about that?
I think the American people have clearly shown that this is a very important thing, and that
all other things are going by the board.
I think at this particular time, the American people... Are you saying that I'm supposed to be as bad as the soldiers in Iraq?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, if the soldiers in Iraq committed a crime, if they committed any crimes, and you committed a crime, yeah, you're as bad as them.
So I'm as bad as a guy that made another man hold, the photographs show that they made him hold bananas in an inappropriate way. Boy, you are really got your priorities messed up.
Here is Phil. Go ahead. Phil?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm here.
Yes, go ahead.
First of all, I think there isn't a responsible American who would not agree that what happened in the prisons was absolutely wrong. But then he seems to want to justify that because of that, anything else he does is right.
But I wanted to let you know, Phil, I'm a prominent opponent of the war in Iraq. I'm very well known as a prominent opponent. Why is Mr. Henry bringing up my sexually, I touched a girl, so?
All right, Phil, thanks for your stimulating call. Jesus, you people got nothing to say. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Why are you laughing, sir?
I'm sorry?
Why are you laughing?
I think it's interesting, Mr. Henry. You've tried to bring me on your program and slander me, and the American people are just not taking your bait.
Sir, I
heard the frustration in your voice of the callers. They're not going where you want them to go, and I think it's amusing.
Let me put it to you straight, okay? Just so I know, you have admitted to fondling women, to touching them, and you think it's unfair that I bring it up because you're a prominent anti-war protester.
I made a mistake by touching a woman. And she may or may not have enjoyed it. That's the one thing I want to say, okay?
Well, it's, you know what, man? There's three women that at least complained about it.
But what's going on with the Iraqi prisoners is so much worse.
And what about rape?
What about it?
Is raping a woman, is that as bad as what's happened to the men in Iraq, these prisoners in Iraq?
I think rape is terrible. It is absolutely terrible. Now, let me just say this. After I've said that, I want to establish that you and your listeners know I believe rape to be a terrible, bad thing.
Yeah?
What's happening to the Muslim man in Iraq is, these are holy people. Muslims are holy because it's a very holy religion. And to take a Muslim man and force him to simulate putting a banana in his rear end. And that's one of the things that they are. Do you understand that that is like raping a man? That is
taking a Muslim and forcing him to hold a banana?
It is, without question, a violation of a decent and beautiful culture. Something that America has done.
So I want to be clear, raping a woman is bad, but not as bad as a naked Muslim guy holding a banana.
Do you understand culture at all, Mr.
No, I just want my audience to know that. It's not...
No, Mr. Do you understand culture?
Say, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Mr. Wheeler. Holding a banana is not as bad as a woman being raped.
Do you know anything about culture? Do you know anything about how the world works?
Yeah, I think I do.
Well, then you would understand that to have a Muslim man hold a banana is considered to be a brutal, horrific rape. You can laugh. Okay, Mr. Henry, the next time I hear about a woman being raped, I'll just laugh the same way you did. Ha ha ha.
What are you talking about, man? 1-800-449-8686. Here is Deborah. Go ahead, Deborah. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, what was your name again, sir?
My name is Dean Wheeler.
Dean?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm anti-war. I
God
agree 100%
you.
that war is a bad thing.
It is horrible.
It's horrible. But I'll have to tell you, as a woman, my body is very private. And to have somebody touch it is a war against my body. Okay?
But the larger war, Deborah, is against
larger
humanity.
Larger or not,
is
you
humanity.
Have to think about how bad
humanity.
This was
and
for the gentleman that had to hold this banana, right?
You need to put your own selfish interests. You need to put your own selfish interests, okay, aside for a moment. The war is the worst thing.
Oh, well, see, this doesn't have to do with me. This has to do with you and the ladies that you brought war against.
I have not warred against ladies.
Because by touching women without permission, you have been violating them as well as everybody else has been violated.
Well, I think it's very typical of selfish American women to think that they're all that matters in this world, but there's something a little bit more important
than you. No, they're not all that matters.
The problem is
that they do matter.
The Iraqi man
Everybody
is more
matters.
Important.
The Iraqi women,
man matters a little
you,
more.
They all matter.
Wait a minute, I want to just say
if
that again.
Some man came, it was just a minute of, hey, this feels good for me. How would you feel?
Well, I'm certainly not going to say it's worse than these Muslim men
I
who are forced to hold bananas.
I think
wait a sec, I gotta get
mother.
What's
wrong,
so bad about holding
wrong,
a banana? Hold on, what's
wrong.
So bad about holding a banana?
It is considered in the Muslim faith, and she thinks it's funny. So she's, you know, you couldn't possibly be really opposed to the war.
I was
Deborah.
Laughing.
You know, I think we need to fix the problems of our countrymen overseas
you're right.
right now.
We need to fix the problem
okay.
of all our countrymen, including
and,
you.
And we've been a selfish nation for too long, and I think
and you're
women,
a selfish man.
Well, you're selfish.
You are no better than the people at war because you take war upon
you. You are selfish.
People.
You are selfish because you think just because I touch your tinkle area and
her tinkle area. Did you really say that?
I'm looking for a way to... What, do you work at a kennel?
Sir.
Jesus.
Sir, you
can... All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is... where are we going here? Let's go to Beth. Beth, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, yes, I just wanted to say that the pictures from Iraq do not justify him being a sexual predator. That what happened in that prison does not justify you being a sexual predator.
We need to concentrate, though, on the pictures in Iraq and less on my on what I did. Okay? Because concentrating on what I did
it has nothing to do with one another.
Not right. I'm against the war.
What's going on in Iraq, the war in Iraq is about freedom.
That's like you driving
you
nuts, Wheeler.
You being a sexual predator means that you need to be in jail.
No, it doesn't, because I'm against the war in Iraq. I have to lead the anti-war movement.
Being against the war in Iraq does not give you the liberty to harass
but
and grope
by the same
and
token,
attack women.
What's more important? See, why are they focusing on me? That's what
because
I'm saying.
Because you're harassed. You're
a sexual predator. You're just going to have to. One of these things, I'll be able to sit down and talk with you about how the world works. But right now, I got to get back to a class.
I'm a
yoga teacher.
Predator,
I help people find peace within and nurture my fellow Americans through touching them in areas that you may not understand the pleasure of that. But many women enjoy it when I squeeze their buttocks and I say to them, "No war, no war." And I do it in rhythm with the squeeze. And
Jesus, this guy's a fruitcake. He's a fruitcake.
You have a mental problem,
no
and you need
war,
to
no
see
war.
Someone
All right,
that.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Mr. Wheeler, you're probably going to go to jail.
You know something? This has been really... You pissed me off a lot.
Oh, isn't that too bad? Good luck, though, pal. Here's a guy that's squeezing women's buttocks, but hey, that ain't nothing compared to what those guys are doing to the prisoners in Iraq. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show coming back. We have email, a walk down memory lane from Florida days, and another flashback on our mailbag tonight.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. It is there that you'll find out more about the Phil Henry Show. If it's the first time you're listening to the show and you think you know what the show is about, believe me when I tell you, you don't. If it's the first time listening to this show and you think it's just like every other radio show, trust me when I tell you, you haven't even gotten a first base on the whole thing. What you need to do is go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. That'll tell you all about this radio show, which is probably the most unique in the history of radio, let alone talk radio. Now, having said all of those things, which, you know, I just want to take a moment to kind of pat myself on the back. We are a very humble people. We're simple people here. We basically live off of what we can grow. We do have some dairy animals, and I've got a mule and a cart, and we're nomadic. The Phil Henry Show is a nomadic show. Janice, Chris, Mark, and myself, we just roam the countryside with our rifle and our alpaca, which we got at www.alpaca.com. Who are those cats, and what is that about? Alpacas. Yes, they taste good. They make great pets. You can milk them. You can use them to transport your goods. What in the hell? Have we turned into a country of yak lovers? Do you understand that while I am very much, as you know, if you listen to this program, I'm very much interested in finding us alternative means of energy so that we don't have to keep relying on Arab oil and being involved in that part of the world. I don't think alpacas is it at all. Like my main man Clint Eastwood said in Heartbreak Ridge, the Marines are looking for a few good men. Unfortunately, you ain't it. Alpacas ain't it. Okay, we're doing the flashback, right? All right, here we go. We got Jeff Dowder, who's a surfer that called our show last night. Jeff, he claims he saved a little girl from a shark. And he doesn't understand why the father who ran down the beach to get his little girl won't give him a reward. Well, it turns out it was a 2-foot sand shark. They're not even man-eaters. One of our callers describes Jeff as an idiot, and you don't act out of kindness just to get a reward.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Listen, this guy is an idiot. You don't go out and save a child and then demand a reward. My God, man, if you were in the area, and it truly was a life-threatening situation, even then you wouldn't demand a reward. What kind of honor have you got?
Wait a minute. It's generally considered appropriate to ask a reward of some kind.
No, it's not generally appropriate to ask a reward.
Well, like, for instance,
I spent 13 years in the Navy, and I pulled a lot of guys out of the water with clamps or whatever that they had a potential of drowning.
What's that got to do with what I did?
Of my life?
What's that? I'm not talking about a guy with a tummy ache. I'm talking about a shark that was going to go after a kid.
I've been swimming in the water where sharks showed up a lot of times.
Okay.
I've been in the Navy for 13 years.
How long were you in the Navy for?
Pardon me?
How long were you in the Navy for?
What was I in the Navy for?
Yeah, why did you join the Navy?
Why?
Why, yeah.
Because I was defending our country, you idiot.
By what? Wrestling sharks?
Have you been in the service?
I've been in the service, yeah. I've been in the service of a frat party one night.
Oh, yeah, that's probably
right.
About it.
Look, where are we going here, gentlemen?
Well, I'm trying to talk to this guy about sand shark.
The guy should have offered to share a beer with you, maybe, and that would have been overdone.
Well, wait a second.
You're a jerk.
Oh, my God, man. You're down at the beach, and your little girl, and a shark comes at her, and I pull her out of the water. The least you can do is kick in a C note. Right?
Yeah, antagonize the hell out of them, make them dive at you, huh?
Hey, are you trying to tell me that after I pulled your grandkid or some whatever you got, some little great-grandchild out of the water, and I said, hey, Carl, how about making with a C note, man? You'd lunge at me? God, that's
nephew,
rude, dude.
My nephew fell off a cliff into the water and damn near drowned, and I dove in and grabbed him and pulled him up, and that I didn't expect my brother to reward me the rest of my life or buy me a new motor.
Well, you should have, man, because if I was that brother, I'd be stepping up to the plate. Hey, do you got a tattoo of an anchor or something like that?
What would you step up to the plate with if you can't even afford an engine and transmission for your truck? You're an idiot.
Oh, I'm okay.
You hang out at the beach. You're a beach bum.
At least you hang out
over there hoping that something will happen where you can scrape up a few bucks to go buy your next case of beer.
I think Carl finally hit the nail on the head.
Wait just a minute, man. This guy pushed his nephew off a cliff, then dove in and pretended like he was saving him. Do you eat spinach like Popeye? Hey, Carl.
You are a complete idiot. I pushed my nephew off a cliff and then dove in to save him.
Sure.
That'd be a great idea.
That's a great way to make some money, Carl.
I
gotta split, man, because they got Balboa
like
bars.
You?
They're gonna close the Balboa bar stand here in a couple minutes. I'll go
for
get
a guy
it.
Like you, it might be a great way to make some money.
Hey, Carl, you know this song? In the Navy, you can meet and sleep with guys in the Navy.
Okay, that's rude, dude. Very rude.
Well, right, you know, I tell you what, you can do all the slandering you want.
I bet you were the Indian and the village people.
There's guys over there protecting your ass right now.
There's people
over there.
I'm over there.
Their lives
on
your
the beach,
ass,
pulling out
a
sand shark,
a money
and
them.
A little girl, and the father won't even help me put a new transmission in my van?
Why should he? Come on, dude.
You know.
Why should he?
Hey, Carl.
Go down to the local
sailor, man. I live in a garbage can. I need all the worms that live at the bottom. I pop in the garbage can.
This guy's, I think he's stoned, man. I think he's high.
Well,
Carl, thank you.
I think the guy is out of his head.
Okay, well, Carl, thank you for your service in the United States Navy. And
were you a lifeguard?
Bill Hendry Show.
How many goals?
Jeff Dowder. And, yeah, Jeff's one of those sunbaked guys that hangs around the pier. And, hey, have you ever seen those guys? They're hanging around the pier, and they've got kind of that, you know, that double-toned skin on the shoulder from where it peeled off, and now it's pink, but the regular is, like, brown and freckled. The guy's hair is just dried like hay because it's been just sitting in sun for days on end. He's got his dog on a leash. He's got a bottle of beer. Probably got a Budweiser in the bottle there, a long neck. Just wearing some fat hanging freaking shorts. No shoes, no shirt. He's got that white crap on his nose. Yeah, right down here I seen this guy's just two boogie boards. Guy's selling a boogie board for probably $15. Get a boogie board down there. Yeah, why are you yelling, man? Oh, I'm sorry, man. I thought you asked me a question. Yeah, but why are you yelling? I'm standing like a foot away from you. Okay. You know, the guy, there's only, from all of the cannabis that he has inhaled over the years, there's only two functioning brain cells left. And neither one of them has anything to do with volume of speech. Look, and nothing that, dude, can you not yell? No, all my brain cells are fried, so I don't know anything about talking really quiet. All those guys are like loud, you know? Got his dog, he's got the dog on the leash, and his girlfriend's got the cut-off jean shorts, you know, and the little bikini top, and she's kind of just halfway to skankdom herself, and she's got the cigarette and the beer, and of course they're not watching their language at all, and you're there with your kid, and everything is F this, and MF that, and S this, and when you say something like, hey, I would really appreciate if you watched the language, what? What are you talking about? And also, man, don't talk so loud, okay? Okay! And where do they live? Who knows? In his car, they're homeless, they're renting a place over here. But they just live for the sand of the beach, that whole beach culture down there. When I hated going to the beach as a kid. I grew up in California, born and raised in Southern California, and I used to hate going to the beach for two reasons. Number one, if you've ever met me, you know that I'm extremely fair-skinned. I'm a freckle-faced Irishman. And I hated getting sunburned. I love, don't get me wrong, I like to body surf and I love recreating in the water, but I hated going to the beach because I hated the people. Some of the most obnoxious bastards that the world has ever known are at the beach. What that's about, I have no idea. Half of them think it's like their private area. The other half of them are throwing their crap all over the place. Then there's another half of them, I guess that would make 150% of them, there's another group of them who are sort of posing bullies, you know, pushing around the younger kids, that kind of idiot, whatever that's about. Hey, you know, how about the group that brings their dogs? Yeah, don't mind that at all, man, but there is a thing called pick it up after your animal, and that's hit and miss whether they're going to do it or not, right? So you're leaving your dog crap around for who? The surfers in the morning when they come out? Probably the surfers are the only guys that I got no problem with because they're there for one reason, surf and then leave. So anyway, that's Jeff. However, I like Jeff a lot. I like him a lot because he's so stupid, I can make him do anything. In fact, sometimes I can make him say anything. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show coming back with a walk down memory lane. Probably the oldest memory lane we have ever played on this show. It goes all the way back to the mid to late 19th, actually the mid-90s when we were doing our show in Miami. And that was requested. We also have a very beautiful email that we'd like you to hear tonight, and we have our mailbag. And we'll be looking into more Iraqi abuse photos. They're just terrible. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry,
1-800-449-8686. Among the many war crimes that we've committed in Iraq, the many horrible incursions, the many just despotic and despicable things that we're doing in Iraq, is most recently, and of course I'm being sarcastic for those of you who are brand new to our offering here, but as you know, we have been accused, not the least of which by our Americans with nothing better to do, Americans who have just all kinds of time on their hand, on their one hand, the other hand's busy, to impugn, you know, a country that they know full damn well is a fantastic place to live in. But it's the government, you see. Like, we got nothing to do with the government. But anyway, among the many despicable things, most recently, the bombing of a wedding celebration. Have you heard about this? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Phil Henry feature called How to Read a News Story. Oh, my God, where do we start with this one? But I'll do it, man. I'll pick through it for you because I really need for you to hear this. The stuff is like screaming at you. Most of these How to Read a News Stories, yeah, it's kind of hidden between the lines. This is just right out there in the bold print. You'd have to be some sort of, I don't know, some cat that's just emerged from the Stone Age not to understand this story. Now, you may not know this, but we are accused, when I say we are, our forces in Iraq have been accused of attacking a wedding party and killing innocent people in the misguided belief that it might be an encampment of enemy insurgents or enemy soldiers or enemy combatants, whatever you want to call them. We don't even know, we don't know who we're fighting. See, we're supposed to go by the rules, but we don't know who, what, when, how. Yeah, that's right, man. We went right in. And how do we know that? Well, there was a video camera rolling. Sure. Well, it wasn't rolling when the attack took place, but right afterwards, a video cat was there, videographer for AP, Associated Press. As we've often mentioned on this show, the early part of this century, the turn of the millennium, if you will, has featured, among other things, the slow decay of the so-called traditional news media. Newspapers, broadcast gathering organizations are all getting into the back seat, and up front and center is the internet. In a desperate effort to hold on to their market share of readers and listeners and viewers, they're beginning to create, I mean literally invent the news. You know this is true. USA Today has done it. New York Times has done it. Boston Globe has done it. LA Times has done it. Desperately trying to hold on to readers, they invent, they create out of whole cloth stories. Well, what's this got to do with what you're talking about, Phil, this bombing in Iraq? Well, let me tell you this. Number one, I followed this story from the beginning because I'm a guy, I just don't believe right off the bat what I'm hearing unless I can kind of look into it a little bit. It doesn't make me smarter than anybody else. It just makes me older. That's all. You live long enough, man, and after a while you start strangling on the horse manure, you got to find something else to eat, right? Well, I had a videographer there, and he was videotaping it. Many weddings do have videographers, don't they? Of course they do. Do they have videographers that are also propagandists, is what I asked myself. On the video is, well, a headless child and dead women and tufts of hair. As a matter of fact, we are told the dead were mostly women and children. Mostly women and children. We are also told that there was a quote from someone who was there stating that this is what happens when the Americans occupy our land. Now, isn't it funny that they had at this wedding someone who had a press-ready quote immediately for the assembled reporters? There was a guy right there ready to talk all about the illegal American occupation. Where? At some wedding celebration somewhere in Iraq. They had all the wedding celebrations hire press-ready propagandists who are right there with the big quote about American occupation. Number two, how is it that Americans, even though we are war criminals and we're all Nazis, how is it that we are so good at our war crimes that we find only the women and children to kill? Interesting that in this wedding party, most of the people that were hit were women and children. Now, how many kids do you see at wedding celebrations, for starters? There's a few. And the women, certainly there are women, but by God, conveniently for people who oppose this war and conveniently for AP and anybody else that is trying to desperately hang on to their market share of whatever the hell else they got, we conveniently killed mostly women and children, didn't we? And we got the video, and not only do we have the video of it, we got the video of a headless child. I'm telling you, this is proof positive of what despicable animals our soldiers are. They attacked a wedding party, which shows that we are obviously inept soldiers and we don't know anything about intelligence gathering. Number two, we mostly killed women and children, which shows that once we did realize our mistake, we decided to sadistically and in a sinister manner only slaughter women and children. Number three, we managed to take the head off of a kid, and there was a guy there with a videotape to record it. And number four, gosh, we were unlucky enough to have a guy standing there as the reporters gathered around to extol eloquently about American occupation. Now, folks, if you're buying this story, there's no hope for you at all. And I'm not talking about whether you believe in the war in Iraq. There's no hope for you as to ever maybe like buying a car for less than the stated price. There's no hope for you in buying a house for less than the stated price. There's no hope for you in ever getting out of Santa Anita with a $2 win, man. You're just going to buy everything and anything that anybody sells you. This is poo-poo, as they say in the business. Poo, or as my daughter used to say, pooey. Only if you lived through Vietnam can you understand. This is really important to hear. Only if you lived through Vietnam can you understand the depth and the gravity of the accusation of war crimes. The agony that this country went through following the My Lai massacre. When I say My Lai massacre, understand, soldiers killed innocent people. The grave was found. The eyewitnesses were there. Men were prosecuted and sent to prison. That was in 1968. And yet I'm supposed to believe that over 30 years later, the U.S. military hasn't learned anything from this experience, is indiscriminately attacking civilians, is not only indiscriminately attacking civilians, but is hunting down women and children, is going through the motions of denying it, but in point of fact, we know we did it. And through all of this, we have not learned any lesson from Vietnam. The military is still having its soldiers go out and act in an utterly unprofessional and completely and utterly sadistic and criminal manner. Now, the prison photos, notwithstanding, what you're looking at in the Baghdad prison photos, by the way, is not the mass murder of civilians. It's soldiers abusing prisoners at the behest of the CIA. The CIA interrogates prisoners. This is their manner in so doing it. You have to understand that what you're looking at is being done all the time by the Central Intelligence Agency. So happens that they got photos of it. By the way, all those pictures were taken on the same day. Not to understand A, the difference between a war crime and a miscarriage of or a violation of the military code of conduct, not to understand that is point one. Point two, not to understand that when the CIA is involved in interrogating somebody, all bets are off. You don't want to know what they're doing. And believe me when I tell you, you don't want to have to monitor what they're doing, because to do that makes them less effective. Now, we're not talking about a violation of international law. We're not even talking about, in some instances, a violation of military code of conduct when there is no military involved. The CIA interrogates prisoners using two basic techniques, sleep deprivation and the use of light, light and darkness. Everything that I'm hearing coming out of that prison is consistent with how they interrogate. That's exactly what they're doing to Saddam Hussein right now. Would you guys like to look into that one, all of you anti-war friends of mine? Would you like to look into how Saddam's being treated? Are you concerned? Because if the, I guarantee you right now, and I'm not just, this is, I'm not kidding you. I guarantee you what you're looking at in those photos is exactly what's happening to Saddam Hussein. Now, would you like to contact his attorney and have the International Red Cross go into wherever Saddam is being held and make sure the CIA isn't doing that to him? I'd like to meet the person that wants to do that. Because you know what? I know right off the bat that if I were to get anybody telling me I want to find out how Saddam's being treated, because it might be the same way that these people are being treated, it isn't because he cares about Saddam. It's simply because you want to prove some point about international law or military code of conduct, which otherwise you wouldn't care about if I hadn't have brought it up. Now, that's the facts, Jack. That's the facts. The United States military has said we did not have any information that there were children in that area. In fact, we know there were no children in that area. Our ground intelligence told us that. And where we hit was a military encampment of some kind. And to say that it was a wedding celebration with women and children is to say that somebody someplace is planted fast and loose with the truth, sports fans. And in this instance, it just might not be the military of the U.S. It might be the Iraqi insurgents themselves, who just happen to have a handy a video copy of a headless kid, dead women. And, oh, by the way, one more thing. When this happened, reporters said, yes, there were mass graves everywhere. So let me just understand something. The U.S. military attacks, and immediately these people start digging graves to bury the dead. So on the one hand, they're smart enough to have a videographer there who can get this information to the news media. On the other hand, they're too stupid to understand the idea of some kind of an inquest or a coroner's examination or a forensic examination of the site. Is that what I'm being told to believe now? So they have a videographer who's ready with the propaganda, but they don't want any kind of forensic evidence taken. They don't want to have any forensic evidence as to shell casings or bullet fragments or shell fragments, nothing like that. And the American people sit here and we eat it up, baby, like it's candy. I can only, you know, I'm just pointing out what I'm pointing out. I don't give a crap what you believe. You know, this country's going to go to hell in a handbasket, or it's going to succeed on its own merits. I ain't going to change anything. I'm just, you know, I'm the bearer of bad news, if you will, for people that are opposed to the war in Iraq as some kind of a criminal incursion, yada, 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 yada. And immediately, of course, the Nick Berg video is fake. Hey, wherever that gal is in the Bay Area, why don't you look into this wedding bombing? Do you think it's fake? I guess we're the only ones that fake stuff. Yeah, the Nick Berg video, I can't believe that Al-Qaeda would act that way. Why, they're innocent Muslim people who are fighting for their third world rights, and America created all of these problems, and we only have ourselves to blame. And, well, you know, there's that argument, and I could dismember that argument in 3 minutes flat. As a matter of fact, the arguments that I've heard against this war, I could rip to shreds in no time. I mean, that's just it. If I couldn't, folks, believe me, I'd be opposed to this war. I'd be opposed to it right along with a lot of other people. But I've heard all the arguments against this war in Iraq, and I could cut them to pieces in seconds. And I do not believe, therefore, that it is a war that should not be fought. Not only is it a war that should be fought, it is our portal to the future. It is our only way into the future. Which brings me to my friend Senator Kerry, a fellow Democrat. I am a Democrat. I don't give a crap what anybody thinks or wants to say about it. I'm a Democrat, and I know why I am, and I can define what one is. But in a moment, when we come back, we're going to analyze Senator Kerry's new campaign slogan, Let America Be America Again. It proves another point that I've been trying to make. Coming up also, a walk down memory lane from Miami days. Ooh, well. And also an email address at phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We are going to be reading from our mailbag tonight, all ahead on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, the so-called anti-war soldier got a year in jail. Good riddance to bad rubbish. A guy by the name of Camilo Mea, you know this guy. He claimed he was a conscientious objector. He got religion, he says, when he saw Iraqi civilians being killed. In fact, he said they were killed in a firefight. He didn't say anybody was targeted, but he just got religion. But then, of course, later on we found out that one other thing, he was also told to abuse prisoners. That came out after all this abuse stuff started coming out. Before that, he never made any public statement about that. All his public statements had to do with he's suddenly a conscientious objector. He doesn't believe in war. Well, he doesn't believe in a war for oil. Well, he doesn't know what he believes. Well, guess what, man? You got plenty of time to think about it. You're going inside for a year. The last thing he said was, I have no regrets, not one. 1 year inside, you'll have some regrets. Don't worry about that. You'll be bouncing off the walls in that place. And you ain't going to find any friends in there, man. The prosecution said that this man left his men. Now, understand, he's a staff sergeant. He has a squad of men under his command, or under his supervision, if you will, and he left them. He abandoned them when they needed him the most. I mean, I don't know anything about the military, but that doesn't sound too good. But I guess it was his conscience that was bothering him, huh? So this guy is going away, baby, and it took about 24 hours to figure he is just one big, long, cold drink of water. He's full of it. Yeah, nice going, Sergeant. Nice try, baby. But really, I am. I'm a conscientious objector, and I just, okay. The attorney said, Louis Font said in his closing argument, that Mea made an honest mistake of fact. This case clearly is about what was in the accused mind, he said. Now listen to this. He had an honest and reasonable view that because he had become a conscientious objector, he would not be required to serve in Iraq anymore. Ha 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 ha! Yeah! Hey, wait a minute. Because I don't want to fight in the war, it's not illegal for me to leave my post. Because I've just decided that I'm a conscientious objector. Well, shut my mouth, fan my brow. You're about the best-looking piece of mountain trash come through here in a long time. If that guy's that dumb, good luck in prison. Why don't you go get me a pack of cigarettes? His objector application, he also claims he saw Iraqi prisoners treated cruelly when he was put in charge of processing detainees last May at Al-Assad. Of course, none of that was said publicly. He never made one public proclamation about that. This thing is about as transparent, it is as translucent. To quote Dennis Miller, it's not transparent, it's translucent. Which brings me to Senator Kerry. And I got to tell you, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this one. Long time ago, I figured out after the 9/11 incident, I said, there's two kinds of Americans left. There's people that understand the future, and there are people who want to return to September the 10th, like it was all a bad dream. And I coined the term the September 10th people. And I used to taunt my brother-in-law, dumbass, with all of that. You know, the guy that I used to email back, and he's living in London. He's actually a really great guy, and he came out for Christmas, and we never got into it at all. And he's super dude. He was just so dead wrong about this war. And I whipsawed him in about, I don't know, 7 or 8 emails. I just ripped this guy up one side and down the next. And so when he came to visit, it was like,
hi, Phil, could I have a beer?
Sure. Anyway, I coined the phrase September 10th people because I recognize that there's two kinds of people in America. People that are going to push into the future, no matter how scary it may be. And right now, pushing into the future means that we have to engage violently. Or hanging on to the lamppost of the past, September the 10th. And I'm telling you, sports fans, when I say this to you with love in my heart and a song on my lips, I couldn't have been more right, because John Kerry, his campaign slogan is this: let America be America again. What he has identified, I don't know whether the senator believes it or not, but what his people have identified, what the focus groups and the research that all of these campaigns engage in have identified, is that he is most likely going to draw the votes of people that want the boogeyman to go away. They want it not to have never have happened. They want to shut their eyes to the future that we've been thrust into. They want to blame Bush. They want to blame Rumsfeld. They want to blame America. They want to do all the things we did in Vietnam. They want it to be Vietnam all over again. They want it to be an unjust, cruel war, a civil war, an occupation. It ain't any of that. But they're desperately hoping that it is, and Kerry, he's going to grab their votes. Now, there's probably a hell of a lot of them, man. For all I know, Kerry's going to win. But just remember that if he does, we got a whole lot of people that think it's still September the 10th. We're in big trouble, my man. Although they're in worse trouble because Kerry ain't pulling anybody out of Iraq. He told me. I just had coffee with him. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, a walk down memory lane suggested by one of our listeners, and it is probably the oldest that we've ever played on the show. It is 8 years ago that we did this bit, from the spring of 1996. As a matter of fact, it was before we'd come out west and before the show was national. We were local in Miami on WIOD doing the afternoon show there, and you'll be hearing a piece of material from our afternoon show in Miami in just a couple of minutes. Chris and I were talking about movies before the show started, and we were talking about remaking films, and somehow we got on The Dirty Dozen, and we both looked at each other and said, boy, that'd be a great flick to remake. The Dirty Dozen. Only for one reason. Not because you could improve on the performances of the actors, because that was great, but the special effects could be a little bit better. And The Dirty Dozen, if you don't know the story, is one of the famous guy movies. We all have heard of chick flicks. The opposite of that is the guy flick, and The Dirty Dozen is one of the... In fact, Tom Hanks jokes about it in Sleepless in Seattle with his buddy, and they're crying about Jim Brown getting machine gunned as he's dropping the hand grenades down the air vents, killing the Germans. I mean, it's a fantastic movie. And the flick has got everything in it that you would want. It's about 12 guys that are taken out of the military penitentiary by Lee Marvin, who is the major, and he's going to mold them into a super elite commando unit that is entrusted with going behind enemy lines the night before the D-Day invasion and killing every German officer they find in this chalet, which is where German officers go to recreate, apparently, in France. So, and the reason for that is to sow all kinds of confusion among the German command if all of their officers have been killed, or the most of them. So that's the story. And he takes this group of 12 prisoners that he interviews individually, and it's fantastic because each actor, Jim Brown, the old pro football player turned actor, plays a major, an army major, who beat this guy to death who called him the N-word. Charles Bronson plays another army captain who was put in the military prison because he shot a guy that was running away with all the medical supplies in the middle of a battle. So each guy had his reasons, in other words, for the good guys, the good prisoners, they had good reasons for being in, you know, for killing the guys that they killed. And then there's John Cassavetes, who plays some scumbag who shot some guy after he robbed him of $4, stuff like that. And who are the other memorable guys in there? Robert Ryan plays the colonel, all kinds of crap. So we were thinking about recasting it for the you know, what actor would play it now? And this isn't one of those bits where, who would play me if the movie of my life? No, I'm talking about the dirty, like Lee Marvin's character. Now, here's a guy, if you don't know Lee Marvin, he was, in his time, he was I suppose, the Clint Eastwood of his day, or who would be more contemporary? He was the Harrison Ford of his day. Better actor than Harrison Ford, but nonetheless, tough, deep baritone voice, tough, hard-ass guy, right? Played all those Marine soldier types. So I was thinking of recasting. Now, who would be the guy that you could put in his part, you know? What, bud?
Matthew Perry.
What?
What about Matthew Perry? Everybody loved him.
Matthew Perry, man, ain't even close. See, this is what happens when I put you in on a bit. I'm talking about, you know who Lee Marvin is?
He was in A Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, I know. I was telling you about The Dirty Dozen. You know the kind of an actor he was? He was rough.
Yeah.
And he was tough.
Right.
And he was butch, and he was hard-ass, and he was kick-ass, right?
Right.
What are you telling me, Matthew Perry?
What about, Matt LeBlanc?
What is it with you and the Friends cast all of a sudden?
Everybody liked it. It was the number one show in the America.
It was the number one show in the America. Jesus, dude. I'm talking about The Dirty Dozen.
Right, I know. I know. What are you yelling for?
Matthew freaking Perry don't come close.
What about Matt LeBlanc?
Matt LeBlanc doesn't come close. Maybe Matt LeBlanc could play the sergeant that Richard Jackal played originally. There's only three guys that survive: Lee Marvin, Richard Jackal, and Charles Bronson.
What about David Schwimmer?
Will you get Friends off your brain for a minute?
But everybody liked it. There's the number one show in...
I know, in the America. Hey, I got a good idea, bud.
What?
What about Courtney Cox? She could play the Lee Marvin part.
What an idiot. She's a girl. Oh, man.
I know, I'm kidding, you idiot.
Courtney Cox.
Hold on, for what, David?
What do you mean, Courtney Cox? That's a chick.
I'm joking.
Jesus, you're putting him down. Talking about Matt LeBlanc and Matthew Perry. Courtney Cox. What about that butt?
What a tard.
Now I know why Butt thinks you're such a retard.
You're trying to tell me that I think that I'm serious when I say Courtney Cox? Is that it?
All I know is he said Matt LeBlanc. I think that's a pretty good idea.
For the Lee Marvin part in Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Man, he ain't even old enough. Marvin was old. I mean, you know,
How old was he?
I don't know. He was...
He was real old.
Yeah, I forget.
He was like 35.
He was like 45.
So you're talking about who we should get to play Lee Marvin in the Dirty Dozen?
Yeah, I mean, who would be a good actor today to play, you know, Lee Marvin in the Dirty Dozen?
What about David Schwimmer?
Oh, my God.
Well, I said that. He put me down.
What about him?
Why David Schwimmer?
Don't you know that Friends was the number one show in the America?
Yeah, he didn't know anything about it.
You gotta stay connected to culture, Phil. You're a big talker when it comes time to be talking about culture. You don't know anything about it.
David Schwimmer.
Yeah. Oh! Wait a minute, bud. Phil thinks he's better than David Schwimmer.
No, I do not.
Yeah, you think you're better than David Schwimmer.
Did you hear what he just said, David Schwimmer?
No, I didn't hear it.
David Schwimmer don't make it. I'm sorry. You guys are out of your minds.
No, but Courtney Cox does.
I was joking.
No, you weren't. You weren't even laughing or anything.
Yeah, I didn't hear any laugh. Look, Phil, why don't you just stick to doing a talk show? Talk about Iraq or something. Will you go off on these cultural things like these lighter moments? Hey, here's a light moment with Phil. How would you like to recast Dirty Dozen? I know Courtney Cox. Holy jeez.
What a tard.
Oh, what, are you all frustrated now?
Yeah, a little bit, man. Just a itsy-bitsy tiny bit.
Oh, come on, let's do the other ones. What about the guy that played Maggot?
Yeah, what about the guy that played Maggot?
Okay, that was Telly Savalas. You mean the bald guy?
Yeah, the bald guy. He hated women.
Yeah, he didn't like women.
Well, I mean, the guy, that would be a really challenging piece of acting, because,
what about Matt LeBlanc?
That's a good idea, bud. You could shave his head.
Everything this guy's talking about has to do with Friends. How about another show? Just any other kind of show. I don't care what.
What about Homer Simpson?
Yeah, there you go, man. Yeah, okay, that's good.
Yeah, Homer Simpson.
Yeah, he can play the bald guy that hates women. Very good.
Are you angry?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah.
What about Homer Simpson?
I got it, bud. I got the vote down here, man. I'll write it down here. I'll send it in the casting, okay? Matt LeBlanc, Matthew Perry, or Homer Simpson to play the maggot character in Dirty Dozen.
That's pretty good, bud.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Hall.
You guys done?
How about David Spade?
To play who?
To play the guy that hates women.
David Spade? The cat's a comic.
Well, the guy's a... Trini Lopez was in that movie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played a guy that,
played a Mexican is what he played.
Yeah, okay, he played a Hispanic, yeah.
The guy was a singer, he sang that Lemon Tree song.
Yeah, he sang Lemon Tree song.
I don't know, Trini Lopez was popular back then. The guy sang that dopey song about the Lemon Tree.
Right! You put Trini Lopez in that flick, and you don't want to put David Spade in it? What, are you racist or something?
Yeah, that's it, I hate white people.
Come on, Phil, think creatively.
Hey, how about you put... David Spade in it.
I just heard him say that. All right, now we're talking about the character that plays... how about the guy that played the Robert Ryan character? You know, he was the rough, tough, gruff guy who was the opposite of Lee Marvin. He was his nemesis.
Yeah, he was the guy that didn't want him to go on the mission.
Yeah, he thought the mission was a bad idea.
Right, who would play him? I personally think you could get a... Burt Reynolds would be a very good one.
What about Ray Romano?
Yeah, Ray Romano's great.
I must not be on the same wavelength.
You know, everything we suggest is like bumming you out. You're just all bummed out tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, lighten up a little bit. What's the matter with you?
How can you catch, say, Ray Romano to play the Robert Ryan part in The Dirty Dozen, opposite Matthew Perry's Lee Marvin part, and, oh yeah, maggots played by, well, wait a second, either David Spade or Courtney Cox?
You said Courtney Cox!
What about Kirstie Alley, then?
For what?
Well, if you say Courtney Cox.
I was kidding, you idiot.
I got an idea, Phil. How about we get Carol Channing to play the Ernest Borgnine part?
All right, I'm done.
Don't be pissed off. We're just kidding around.
We're only kidding around, Phil. You don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, then how about, the Jim Brown part? You know, he's the African-American officer who was unfairly... beaten up, and so he beat to death that guy. He's put in prison. What about him?
What do you think, bud?
David Hyde Pierce.
That's a great idea. Is he pissed?
Yeah, he's not looking very happy.
You guys are serious, huh?
Well, I what's wrong with that?
David Hyde Pierce is a white guy. He's going to play the Jim Brown part?
Well, either that or Sandy Duncan.
Yeah, Sandy Duncan
play the black guy part. All right, goodbye.
Okay, see you later, Phil. Try to do a show, will you?
1-800-449-868. I don't want any calls on this. I'm depressed. Hey, yeah, Phil. Yeah? How about we recast Dirty Dozen? That'd be a great idea, Chris. Okay. Let's take some calls on it. Who do you think should play Ernest Borgnine's part? Carol Channing. Thank you. And the black guy, Jim Brown? David Hyde Pierce. And how about the rough, gruff captain that, or major that Lee Marvin played? Why, we all know that the perfect actor for that would be Matthew Perry. Mm, mm, mm. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for a walk down memory lane. The letter from Chris Walter says, Phil, please, for the love of God, play the old Mrs. Edelman bit. I've never laughed so hard. Well, folks, here it is from 8 years ago. It was in the spring of 1996 from Miami. This is the Mrs. Edelman bit on a Phil Henry Show walk down memory lane.
Coming, huh?
Hello?
Yes?
No, now it's no good.
What happened?
You're faded.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this better?
No.
Is this better?
Yes.
All right. How can we help you?
Okay. My name is Sheila Edelman. I mailed a request on the 30th of December to Domestic Relations.
Can you say that again?
Oh, brother. I mailed an express letter to Domestic Relations on December 30th to close my account.
Did you say something?
Pardon me?
What did you say?
Why can't we get through?
I can hear you, but we're having some interference. I don't know. We had a couple of tornadoes down here. No, it's all right. There's no damage. Well, there's a little bit of damage. Nothing serious. But our phone lines seem to be just a bit jammed up. You want to find out if your account's closed?
Pardon me?
You want to find out if your account was closed?
I want to find out if they received it, if they closed it.
All right, let me transfer you. Let me transfer you to dead accounts, all right?
It's not dead yet.
I understand that. Let me transfer you. This will be Mr. Gonzalez, all right? Yes, Mr. Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez will be the next person you hear, all right?
And what is your name?
My name is Fran.
Pardon me?
Fran.
You have to spell it. I can't really hear it.
All right, my name is Fran. F-U-N-O.
Right.
L-O.
Okay. Thank you.
That's pronounced Fran.
It's pronounced Fran?
Yes, ma'am.
F-U-N-O-L-O. Oh, all right.
It's Norwegian.
Oh, okay.
Okay, isn't that interesting?
I just learned something.
Yeah, we get a lot of people ask me about that. All right, hold on. We'll transfer you to Mr. Gonzalez, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Hello, it's Mr. Gonzalez.
Yes, I've just been transferred to you to find out if my account has been closed.
Yeah, okay.
My name is Sheila.
Oh, hold on for a minute. I got to find a pencil.
Okay.
I just got in.
Okay, the letter...
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York City.
How's the weather up there?
Snowing.
Is that right? Okay.
I know you've had a couple of tornadoes.
Yeah, we had some very bad weather. Everything. The office is a mess. We had a tornado come right through new accounts.
Well,
can you believe that?
This may be not have been taken care of.
No, no, dear. It's all right. The problem is this. We had a senior citizen drive a car right into the lobby.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
Was that during the storm?
This was during the storm. She
had no control. She lost control.
It must be. I asked her. She gunned it. And then she staggered out of the car. And get a load of this, asked to see if she could open up a CD. Can you believe that? She staggers out of the car. It's unbelievable.
Fred.
Hold on for a minute, would you please? One time in my life, I'd like to sit down at this desk and find stuff where I left it the night before. I don't give a good damn where you left it. I want the pen now. I'm terribly sorry. Excuse me.
All I want to know is if it was received.
Yes, it was.
I included a Federal Express return.
Your name is Lieberman, right?
No, my name is Edelman.
Oh, Edelman, okay.
E-D-E-L-M-A-N.
E-D-E-L-M-A-N.
Right.
Letterman?
Edelman.
Like Dave Edelman, the talk show host?
Not Letterman. Edelman. E-D-E.
Well,
as in Edward Donald Edwards.
Who is Edward Donald?
I'm giving you names so you can get my right letters of my name.
Oh, like in the Army, when they say Army Bravo, Army ABA. Okay,
yeah,
I got
exactly.
All right. Okay, I got
all right. E-D-E-L-M-A-N, Edelman.
Now, Edward is who, your husband?
Nobody.
All right, so you're Mrs.
Edelman.
Donald. Okay, Edelman.
Edelman.
Well, why are you yelling?
E-D-E-L-M-A-N.
Spell that again.
E.
E.
D, as in Donald.
Donald, as in duck.
Yeah.
All right, okay. E-D.
Right. E, as in I, that you look out from in your head. I.
How do you spell that?
E.
Well, how do you spell I?
Are you? Do you have a bad connection in your ear?
Ma'am, I can hear you very well, but you said my eye.
E as in eye in my face. E-Y-E.
The eyes in your face. All right, what is that? F is, all right, E as in eye in my face.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so you got E-D-E.
All right, we got that so far. So let's just stop there. Let's just stop there. Let's stop at E-D-E and let's take a deep breath here, all right? Because we've had a hell of a day.
Next, L as in lollipop.
All right, E-D-E-L.
Right. M as in man, and that's the last word in my name, Edelman.
Edelman. Edwin Donald Edelman.
No.
Well, ma'am, you said your husband's name was Edward Donald Edelman.
No, I did not, Mr. Gonzalez. I'm giving you words so you can know the letters. It's E-D as in Donald.
How do you like that? And I thought, okay, I'm
all
sorry.
Right.
How about that, huh?
As in
Edward. I'm screwing this up.
As in Donald.
E-D-E as in Edward. L as in Donald.
E again as in Edward.
E as in Edward.
Right.
D as in lunch truck.
D as in,
as in
Edward, D as in Donald.
As in Donald. E as in I, L as in Mary, M as in lunch, A as in snack, N as in supper. And that's...
What?
Edelman, right?
M, E, N as in supper?
Well, whatever, I got the letter right, didn't I? I don't know how you spell... So it's E as in Alvin, L as in sister...
Dollars.
What?
There's somebody else I can talk to.
Yeah, if you could hold on for just a second.
Thank you.
There it is. That's from the spring of 1996. How about that? That was just about 6 months before we came out west. It's the Mrs. Edelman bit there on our walk down memory lane. Phil Henry Show coming back. 1-800-449-8666.
1-800-449-8666. The world famous. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up this hour, Steve Bozell from last night's show, a construction contractor in Corona, California, who is suing his wife and his kids because they can take looking at the Nick Berg video, but he's afraid to see it, and he doesn't want them talking about it because when they do, it makes him feel emasculated. Something like that. He's a whack job. But his attorney, Dolores Blazingame, the infamous Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California, she takes any and all business from this schmuck. Also today, this hour, our weekly Alcoholic of the Week Award will be presented, and we also have a mailbag. Look at your emails. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Here is Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had a comment about what you were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
About the war in Iraq.
Yes, ma'am.
It doesn't seem at all that you have any compelling evidence as to why you actually think we should be over there. And you're saying you can rip people apart.
On any level. On any level. Where do you want to start?
I'd like to start first with the weapons of mass destruction.
The weapons of mass destruction is a very interesting aspect. Number one, the entire world, not just us, the British, the French, the Germans, the entire world believed that he had them. The reason is because the intelligence was there. Saddam Hussein probably didn't have them, but he wanted the world to believe that he did. He needed to threaten his neighbors. It was the kind of guy that he was. The intelligence was there. It wasn't just America making this so-called mistake. It was John Kerry. It was Madeleine Albright. We acted on the best possible information that we had. Now, we get in there and we don't find any.
Hold on.
We get in there and we don't find any. Suddenly, that makes John Kerry and everybody look like a genius, but they, along with the rest of the world community, believed that they were there. Now, if you go in and you find out that, in point of fact, a crime has not been committed, you are still working on the basis of evidence that you felt you had, number one, and number two, much, much more importantly, is the fact that this man was in violation of every internationally recognized resolution calling for him to disarm. He did not cooperate with inspectors. He did not fulfill the obligation he had under those resolutions after the armistice or the ceasefire, if you will, of the Gulf War. Saddam Hussein was in violation of those resolutions. On top of that, he was an active sponsor of terror with Al-Ansar Islam in the north of the country and Hamas in Palestine. If you're talking about going after terror after 9/11, which is the first time in the history of the world the civilized world decided to go after it rather than wait for it to happen, that was the logical place to start.
You don't think that George Bush had it on his agenda?
I think
as he came into office.
Rebecca, you want to know what I think? I'm not saying this is what you think. I think that's a child's argument proffered by children who don't want to recognize the world that we're living in right now. Now, let's say, for instance, he did. He's got one damn good reason. You know what it is?
What?
And this is confirmed by intelligence, not from only our country, but other countries. The attempted assassination of an American president by Saddam Hussein. Now, I don't know about you. You sound as if you come from another country. I don't know. Maybe you're an American citizen. Americans don't like presidents being killed or even attempting
American
to be killed.
Citizen.
Okay. That is, without question, as far as I'm concerned, enough reason to take a guy out. However, maybe it's not. The other side, the other aspect of that argument is if he had it on his agenda when he took office in the year 2000, it was based upon the fact that this man had been in continual violation of these resolutions, and the world wasn't taking any of it seriously any longer. And why was that? Well, now, we have found out that France was involved up to their you-know-what monetarily in contracts. The Germans were involved. The Russians were involved. You see, America, everybody wants to believe, is the big bad guy, while everybody else gets away with petty crime. The rest of the world was doing business with this guy and greasing his palms. That's why they didn't want to go to war against Iraq. Not because we were violating some UN charter, because the French didn't want us to find out what we found out. They were supplying this guy with weapons, for starters, as well as the Germans.
They were supplying him
now
with
let's
weapons.
Now let's talk about oil for food. You want to get into that?
I'd like to bring up something else, though.
Yes, ma'am.
There are other countries that are so much more dangerous.
Wrong.
And supply the world with so many more terrorists. Why would we just go after Iraq?
Now,
why not Saudi Arabia?
What country would that be that supplies the world with so many more terrorists?
Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia.
You want us to attack Saudi Arabia?
That's not what I said. I said, why are we going after went into Iraq and we're not going into Saudi Arabia?
Well, because Iraq is a state sponsor of it. In other words, the government there, the leading authoritative oligarchy sponsors it, the government, as opposed to going into Saudi Arabia, where we know that the tribes in that country, many of them produce men who join Al-Qaeda. We don't have any evidence, or if we do have evidence that Saudi Arabia's royal family is actively supporting terrorism, obviously we've got a reason for not going in there. And I'll tell you what it is. You want to know what it is?
Sure.
Here's the big reason why we're not going to attack Saudi Arabia. You talk about the American people going nuts on Saudi. If we went after Saudi Arabia, where we get all of our oil, you wouldn't hear the screaming stop about a war for oil. It would go on. The self-righteous people that beat their chest about war for oil, oh, my God.
Well, if it's a war on terror.
Yes, ma'am.
Then why aren't we going after the places that are producing the most terrorists?
We're going after the states that sponsor and actually foment and propagate and promulgate terror. We're going after the first and foremost countries that harbor them, that sponsor them, and that actively, as a state, as a function of the state, support them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Saddam Hussein was the primary target. He was target number one.
Well, then why was the initial thing about the weapons of mass destruction? That's all we heard about.
The United Nations concern was weapons of mass destruction. The concern of the United States was weapons of mass destruction,
yeah,
as it was Britain's and France and Germany. It was John Kerry's. It was Madeleine Albright. So, see what I'm trying to tell you, Rebecca? It's easy to sit in what we say in the States as Monday morning quarterback and say, aha, there were no. So, therefore, before that war started, everybody and his brother, including most Democrats, and every country in the world believed that man to have weapons of mass destruction, if for no other reason as he wasn't cooperating with UN inspectors. The French didn't want us to go to war, not because they don't want innocent Iraqis to die, because they know that the books down there in Baghdad, the filing cabinets, are full of their little transgressions, as we have since found out. Then we have oil for food. which was a program that was designed to help the Iraqi people by allowing Iraq to export oil if they use the proceeds to buy food for their people. Well, now, guess what? The United Nations, that august body that everybody is so, just so absolutely enamored of and that America just crapped all over, the UN's up to its rear end in graft, taking kickbacks, members of the United Nations administration pocketing money. When we get to the bottom of that, it'll make those Iraqi abuse photos look like a day at the beach. So we, you know, you see, the world, we want everything to be black and white. It just isn't. And the history of the world is filled with more than just America's crimes. It's filled with the crimes of every civilized nation, including so-called wonderful places like Britain, America, Canada. We've all swum in dirty water to promote the interests of our people.
It just seems to me that this is going to turn out exactly like Vietnam, and there's not going to be any
One of these days I'll tell you all about Vietnam and how this war has absolutely nothing to do with Vietnam. It is nowhere near what Vietnam was. All right?
Thank you very much for calling.
Bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We got coming up our mailbag. We also got a little Steve Bozell flashback. And let's not forget, man, our Alcoholic of the Week Award. By the way, Jason Williams, that former NBA player, is going to be retried on one of the charges that the jury was deadlocked on, and that is, I don't know the official name of the charge, but it involves him wiping fingerprints off of the shotgun. They're deadlocked on that, even though there were five witnesses that saw this. Now, I think this is a pretty good time to talk to Mr. Williams about maybe playing basketball for his country in Athens. What is it? Come on, baby, huh? I'm not going to go in and get... It's either that or you're going to go inside the joint for a long time. I think you take your chances with Al-Qaeda. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The Shiites in Iraq and are really trying to sell this one that we attacked their shrine at Najaf. The U.S. military saw that one coming. They're really trying to sell it because they got a whole bunch of ragheads in Lebanon right now going ape saying that we've attacked their shrine. Now, the U.S. military anticipated that because they've come out with a statement saying we know exactly where the holes are, and they're not big holes. There's four holes, each about 12 inches by 8 inches. We know exactly where the holes are, and judging by where they are, that damage was caused by the Shiites firing from the mosque or at the mosque, not our troops. U.S. military, from the very beginning, has been really mindful of religious sites in Iraq. This is not a secret to anybody. And just use your common sense. Just use your common sense for a second and think about it. Yeah, I tell you what, let's go over there and just start kicking ass like idiots everywhere that we go, and we'll just kill a bunch of women and children, and we'll also blow up shrines. That'll help us win the war, and that'll help us win the hearts and minds of the Iraqis. Yeah, right. Now, the Shiites, coming from that sort of backward Arab propaganda mentality, and when I say Arab, I mean Middle East, and when I say raghead, I mean enemy. I'm not talking about Arab Americans or Muslims, okay? So take a chill on that. Coming from the backward place that they come from propaganda-wise, they're trying to sell it, though. And they had a big demonstration today, and America's attacking their holy sites, okay? Militia men, according to the U.S. military, are using these sites like they use human shields. We don't want any of you. In other words, this is what it is. All you Europeans and Americans and all of you Christian Jewish types, you're all scum. And just showing your face around here is reason enough for us to kill you. However, to actually attack our shrine, to actually shoot at us while we shoot at you, that's unforgivable. Now you all must die. Now you're going to get your heads cut off just because we just feel like it. We don't need a reason now. And if anybody is going to destroy the holy shrine at Najaf, it's going to be Shiites. And that's really what they're saying. So they've pitched that to the world. This is their latest line of bullcrap. What I'm trying to tell you guys is, if we're spewing some manure, they're spewing it like you wouldn't believe. And they got Al Jazeera and everybody else right in their pocket, man, and they're doing all this stuff. It's a load. And like I said, common sense alone tells you why it didn't happen. It's not in our interests to start pissing off Muslims by blowing up their shrines or attacking their shrines or killing their women and children, for God's sake. But the Shiites think they can pitch that and sell that to the world. And guess what? There's some people buying it. The French have been hooked lock, stock, and sinker. I mean, there hasn't been a country in the history of the world of people more ready to believe anything negative about the United States than the frogs. And the thing that makes us so angry about that is that the caretakers of some, I don't know, 30,000 of our war dead. I mean, how did that happen? We got tricked and fooled into believing they would take care of the heritage of our country over there. It don't look too good to me. Just about every country. What am I saying? The French, Canada, Germany, Spain. You lay down something about the United States, no matter how outrageous, they'll believe it, or they'll at least give it credence. I told you, with all due respect to my Canadian listeners, that country up there, when I went on the air with Andrew Crystal in Toronto, I talked to some of those people. I'm telling you right now, it's like talking to kids. The grasp that some of them had on world events and how this planet actually keeps turning every day is unfreaking believable. Yeah, that's right. Let's go to Iraq. Let's start putting holes in shrines, killing children, killing women, and it's just going to be fantastic. And we'll do it right out in the open with video cameras and everything. And we are so horrible a country that even when we have people in private, when we've got prisoners in private where we actually could murder them, we don't. We put them in dog collars. Here's Mark. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, man.
Listen, I wanted to talk to you. I actually work in media. I work at a television station in Atlanta. And your point that you made earlier about the whole wedding shrine, and first of all, let me back up by saying I'm behind the war. I support what they're doing, not the fact that they're destroying things or whatever, people are dying, but the point behind it. But when I write a news story, I get my information, obviously, from people like the AP, who make mistakes. But I don't know if we say that they fabricate things, as far as you were saying about the wedding.
Well, you know it's happening. You know it's happening. Boston Globe, we it's right in front of our face what's going on.
Well, sure, some of that stuff does happen, and we have to, as the media, be responsible enough to weed through and say what's truth and what's fiction. But also, we have to...
How difficult is it to check out whether there are photographs of American soldiers raping women? How tough is it to check out whether those are valid or not?
Well, that's true, and that hasn't, obviously, like you said in the past shows, that has not come out yet, and we don't know, you know, obviously they said they saw some much more horrible things than we've seen so far, and maybe at some point they'll release some of those things somewhere.
Well, they're having to make it up, Mark. They're having to make it up, baby. There's a whole lot of reporters and a whole lot of broadcast and news outlets that are starting to look a little stupid.
But if they're making that up, here's the danger with saying they're making the bad stuff up. They could also make up all the good stuff about, oh, schools are being open and kids are going to school.
Wait a minute. There's only one problem with that. They ain't telling me about any of that.
Well,
I got to search high and low. I got to get Superman's X-ray vision, man, to find those stories.
Well, it's true. And
they're
right.
They're not reporting that. I mean,
well, and that's the slant, unfortunately. That's the slant that people need to hear the other side of it.
All I'm doing is I'm using my common sense. I read a story, it says women and children were killed, mostly women and children. Isn't that convenient?
Well,
America is so absolute, the military command over there is so utterly unmindful of the propaganda value of dead women and children that we went ahead and attacked a wedding party and we targeted women and children, or at least we got lucky and killed mostly women and children, and there happened to be a videographer there that was ready to videotape all of that, and I'm sure people videotape weddings, but what are they doing burying the bodies within minutes after the people were found? Because I saw that tape. They're burying them already, and on top of that, they have a guy all ready to stand there and say, this is the result of American occupation. I mean, dude, this is a made-for-TV media event.
Well, and that's the thing. I you have to be skeptical of some of that stuff because you know, they also were showing off where they bombed the police headquarters and stuff. But also one part of that story, the wedding that I actually wrote about, what I heard earlier as part of that story was that there were shots fired in the air as part of a celebration.
Well, we've heard that before.
Right. And
the American soldiers are aware that weddings feature gunfire.
Sure.
This is not the first time that our troops have encountered this tradition in Iraq where gunfire is fired as the result of a wedding celebration. They're not stupid. They realize that these guys, they're under a microscope. They're going to respond with everything that they've got against women and children because they're just afraid that they got attacked by an armed camp of militia. The general in charge said, we knew from intelligence there were no children in that area. None. Nobody wants to listen to us, though, man. We're so ready to believe Al Jazeera and some... That footage of that headless kid is probably like... 5 years or 10 years old, it probably comes from Saddam's private personal collection of headless kid videos.
Yeah, well, some of these things are going to go on, but that's the thing is, as a news writer, we have to go with what we get sometimes, and if it's on the Associated Press, I know it sounds...
Are you a reporter, or are you just like an editor, or what?
I'm a writer.
Does that mean
I'm an associate producer and a writer, so I write stories for the newscast.
Well, I'm just suggesting to you that there's another way of looking into these stories, that it's possible that there's a whole con job being done on you guys.
Well, and that's a possibility.
And I don't put it past AP. I really don't, man.
Mark, well, they make mistakes.
I got to run. Thanks, pal. I wouldn't put it past AP. Why am I going to put past AP? If the Boston Globe's making stuff up, the LA Times is making stuff up, the New York Times is making things up, USA Today is fabricating stories, why wouldn't AP? Who is AP anyway? We don't even... I mean, you talk about a dying news organization. You talk about an antiquated, anachronistic bunch of... it's just...
Why don't you take a break?
I will. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
In a moment, we'll have our Alcoholic of the Week Award, and then we'll go into our mailbag. But first, a flashback from our show last night. If you joined us, Steve Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, was on to say that he hadn't seen the Nick Berg video because, well, he's just scared to. And people that talk about seeing it make him feel emasculated and like a chicken blank. And we had a caller say that, buddy, you need to reevaluate things.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You can consistently talk about lashing out, and you've said it over the air, lashing out against children because of potentially watching this. I think you have demons in your pocket. And what you're talking about, yes, I have watched the video.
Yes, sir.
Do you know
what I'm talking about.
Yes, but that does not mean you commit a heinous crime against a child. If your son thinks this is...
I don't know what your son's doing, Mr. Bozell, but you may have to move to an office.
Yes, sir, I will. I'm sorry.
Either reevaluate or restate
right.
what you were thinking.
Gerald, are you a psychologist or...
No, sir, I'm not.
Can I ask the gentleman?
But I am a father of four children... And there's no reason in God's green earth that I would ever, ever watch a video, no matter how heinous it was, hurt my children.
Hurt a child, yeah.
Well, when I was a young man, my brother Neil and I watched The Exorcist together, and I'm sure you're familiar with the film.
Yes, I did. I watched it when I was 12.
Right. And after
that... That'll date me right there.
I'm sorry, sir? That dates you, yeah. And after that, I tried to burn my mother's arm with a cigarette.
Well, that's just some kind of... Did you go in for counseling?
I did go in for counseling.
Well, no, I don't have that kind of an issue.
Would you tell your son to stop with the horns, the sheep?
This is the kind of disrespect that has been heaped upon me ever since I said I don't want to see no video because I might cut my son's throat from ear to ear.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, right. Now you watched Exorcist. That was heinous to you.
Have him stop that.
Stephen, and I will ask my wife, too, Phil, if you can give me a minute.
We'll have April or somebody.
Tell Stephen to close the door to his room, please.
I watched The Exorcist when the little girl took the cross and did all that nonsense.
She did bad things to herself. Yeah. I understand that. I watched the movie, too. But, again, it was a movie.
But I enjoyed that part. And that,
oh, my God.
To me, tells you
there's some problems.
Step in and do something for yourself.
Well, I can't believe my son rigged his computer so it can be heard by the pond. I'm so sorry.
All right, I'm going to... Gerald, thank you very much for a very cogent and sober series of thoughts, and I think that in many ways...
I'm very sorry, Mr. Henry. My son is a young man who has just turned 16. He is entering his junior year. He thinks he's just God's gift to the, you know...
All right, Gerald, thank you very much, sir.
Okay, you take good care, and hey...
When I saw Private Ryan, I found myself with a pillow over my daughter's face, and it was bad.
All right, Gerald, thank you.
Mr. Buzzell.
Yes, sir.
Do us both a favor. Do us both a favor.
Yes, sir.
Go in and hey, seek out what's climbing into your rear end.
Right, right. It's a good point, Gerald.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call.
Okay, see what he just did? That's like...
Well, what was that?
I don't know.
Well, have him turn it off, man. It's blowing my mind here. I'm trying to have an interview.
Steven, I'm going to come up here and I'll cut you. Turn that stuff down. Turn that mess down up there.
You don't want to see the video.
I don't want to see no video because if I see that video of a Nick Berg getting his head clipped off, I'll come up there and cut you. I'll do it.
Mr. Bozell.
Hold on, Phil. You hear what I'm saying, boy?
Eddie, wait a minute.
You turn those pig sounds and everything else, you try to make me look like a fool on a national radio show. I'll come up there and I'll cut you open like a Christmas turkey.
Ah, you're full of it.
I'm full of it, huh? You watch and see. You try me, fat man. See, he don't care.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Time now for our Alcoholic of the Week Award. Police in Fairview Heights, and I believe this is in the state of, I don't know where. Police in Fairview Heights arrested a man this week for riding his lawnmower on a residential street while under the influence of alcohol as he cradled his toddler daughter in his lap. Paul Schwartzbrauber of some kind of a place, Orlando Court, was this in Orlando? Has been charged with felony DUI and driving while his license was revoked. Why? Because they don't really have a law against driving a lawnmower drunk. After a battery of sobriety tests, we found him to be intoxicated. Fellow said he added that officers were alarmed that Schwartzbrauber was riding with his 14-month-old daughter on his lap. Although it's not necessary to have a valid driver's license to operate a riding mower, Schwartzbrauber was charged with driving with a revoked license because, quote, lawnmowers aren't supposed to be on the street, according to Officer Fellows. Yes, get help. Seek treatment. Riding around on a lawnmower with your daughter in your lap? You're an alcoholic. By the way, this story comes to us from St. Louis, home of the Bowling Hall of Fame.
Jesus.
Here's our Alcoholic of the Week on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we will have our mailbag. Just this little bit of news for you. Gay Republicans in North Carolina said state party officials told them their group isn't welcome at a convention this weekend because, quote, homosexuality is not normal and their agenda is counterproductive to the Republican agenda. Now, a spokesman for the state GOP in North Carolina said its leaders rescinded their offer to grant the Log Cabin Republicans a table at the convention because, in our opinion, they're not really a Republican organization. Their political agenda is different than our political agenda. A Phil Hendry commentary. You people in the National Republican Party thing, whatever it is, you better get these hayseeds in North Carolina. You get their heads and their asses wired together real fast. Because this is exactly why it is people, for the most part, aren't Republicans. For the most part, they're Democrats. You want to know why? Because you got guys that are still running around in high-button shoes with a little pilgrim hat and a big freaking turkey gun, and they're sending the missus back into the cabin to prepare the supper. I mean, these cats are, they're strictly from hunger, baby. Hunger, North Carolina. You got a lot of gay people that want to be Republicans. For political reasons,
for economic reasons, for reasons of defense of the country, for whatever reason, okay? I'm not one. This is one of the reasons why I ain't. My wife belongs to something called a Women's Republican Club. Do you want to know why they have Women's Republican Clubs? Because they need them. Because it's not a party that, it's not a party that has ever tried to engender interest from women. It's not been a party that has ever tried to include women. I mean, they actually have to have their own private little women's clubs. And it's that the irony is not lost on Maria. She understands it. In the Democratic Party, we don't have no women's clubs. Women are Democrats. Okay, that's one of the things that right these days the Democrats are getting right. Another thing, all this stuff about having a problem with gay people, man, you know, look, why don't you go live in freaking Iran or wherever it is that they make it a, you know, not only is it a legal thing to beat up on gay people, they probably have a national festival for it. You want to get some people joining your stupid party? You better get these clowns under control. Honest to God, man. These guys, these jackasses in the pro-life wing of your party, and these other regressive clowns that are simply continuing the long-standing tradition of people reasonably viewing the Republican Party as a reactionary, out-of-step, far-right fringe party. That every now and again, people, you know, they have a guy that people want to vote for president, but as soon as he becomes president, he has to moderate his views. The other thing that's going to kill Bush is that gay amendment thing. Man, you better get off that kick. If he can bury it, the thing that Bush has got to do, he's got to bury that whole gay amendment thing until after the election. Right now, I don't know who's going to get elected president, if you want my opinion, but he needs to bury all that gay stuff because it's just, people don't need that. In the middle of what we're fighting right now, we want a guy in the office who's going to start stripping rights away from Americans? You think the Patriot Act is bad? If you've ever read the Patriot Act, you know what it's about, and it doesn't strip rights from anybody. But if you think that's bad, try a constitutional amendment that denies a certain group of Americans a right. It's never been done in the history of this country. It's a stupid idea, and it's promoted by, I believe, stupid individuals that Bush, I guess, is beholden to for some reason. I guess he needs the votes or something. You got that many crackers out there? I shouldn't say crackers. I'm sure there's a few black cats that don't dig it either. You got that many spooks and crackers that are, I'm joking around. Now, come on. You have that many dumb people that you need favors from, Prez? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up is our mailbag.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Aha! Here it is. California, there are no private beaches. You ready for that? I'm just speaking for just a second, then we're going to go to our mailbag. There are no private beaches in the state of California. Now, I'm going to go down there to that, what's it called? Broad Beach, where the movie stars live? I'm going to park my ass right out in front of Bruce Willis's house, and I won't have any pants on. And I'll tell you something, unless a cop tells me to leave, I ain't going to leave. Now, I'm not going to do that to harass anybody. I don't want to harass people. But being on a beach is not harassing a guy in a house that's living beyond the beach. You know, there's houses on beaches all over the place where the people have fun on the beach, but the guy lives in a house on the beach. He's not upset that somebody's actually on the sand in front of his house. Forget it.
Wait a minute. Kill the music. Forget it.
I don't even want to get it.
No, you were on a roll. I really like it.
I want to get into my mailbag.
Mailbag's boring. I want to
just get out of here. Hey, Phil, please note that it is not my intention to trivialize or dismiss the awful events that took place at the Abu Ghraib prison. However, I must inform you that I've personally witnessed many people pay up to $1,500 to be subjected to similar treatment at the hands of Heidi Fleiss's girls, both at Charlie Sheen's house and the Chateau Marmont. Yours, Dave. By the way, that was a mass mailing email. You might have heard that on another show. Dear Phil, I wanted to write a note of thanks on behalf of the troops in Iraq. I just got back from a year and 4 months in the breach, and one of the things my wife did for me was burn your show and send it to me in the mail. Every time we had mail call, there'd be another fat envelope with four or five of your shows in it. We'd play them, then go out on patrol and come back to find the last patrol listening and either laughing at a bit or whooping it up while you gave it to some caller. The bits were great and kept us lighthearted, and the support you have for the troops was a big morale booster. Thank you for allowing my wife to pay you $7 a month and allow access to burn the shows instead of just stream them. They were huge over in the pit. If, when I get called back up, I have a stockpile of Henry to share with the guys. Thanks again. That's from Captain Matt Peterson, 3rd Platoon, Bravo Company, 2nd Assault Amphibian. And a picture of the guys is on our homepage on our website that they sent to us from Iraq. Phil, I'd like to see a remake of Deliverance with Michael Moore cast in the part of Ned Beatty. Pete in Sacramento.
All right.
Hey, Phil, I'm getting a chuckle from your show this evening as my parents are going on a cruise on the exact same boat that the NBA players will be on right after the Olympics are done. My dad had two fake hips, arthritic ankles, and a bad heart. Ha ha, you're hilarious. Keep up the work. D. To Phil, for those Muslims that call to explain how Islam means peace and how their religion is a beacon to the world for tolerance, I'd like to give you a direct quote from the Quran, verse 9:29 states, "Fight those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and his messenger, nor acknowledge the religion of truth." It flat tells Muslims to fight against people that don't observe Islam. The reason most Muslims won't go into any kind of public detail about how the actions of the Middle Eastern Arab is wrong is because they know that they'd be called on it via the text of the Quran. I'm not prejudiced or anything. I'm just making an observation of the facts. Regards, Rick Cornell. Dude, the Bible's got all kinds of stuff in there about kicking ass, too. What are you talking about? I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I got my Catholic friend who was telling me that Islam is evil. Why are we making the same mistake? If you want to say Islam's evil and Christianity is too, because I got it right there in the Bible where you're supposed to take a guy's eye out of his head and all that crap. Isn't that what it says? Take the guy's eye out of his head and all that crap. Genesis. Hi, Phil. A U.S. helicopter fired on a house in the desert near the Syrian border yesterday, and Iraqi officials said more than 40 people attending a wedding party were killed. The victims included 15 children and 10 women. Who gets married on Wednesday anyway? Steve Huber, Edmonton, Canada. Good point, Steve. Phil, I don't know if you mentioned this one, but check out what tough guy Kevin Garnett had to say before Game 7 against Sacramento. Yeah, I heard about this. "This is it for all the marbles sitting in the house. I'm loading up the pump. I'm loading up the Uzi. I got a couple of M16s, couple of 9mm. I got a couple of joints with silencers on them. Just loading up a couple of clips, couple of grenades. Got a missile launcher with a couple of missiles. I'm ready for war." Now he's shaking in his panties to go to the Olympics. What a tough guy, huh? Great job of the show. I listen every night from Boulder. To Kevin Garnett's credit, the next day he said, "Hey, you know what? I was just talking strictly in terms of basketball. I didn't mean any disrespect to anybody fighting the war." He's a good kid, Garnett. And he recognizes that he's young and dumb. No, he's just, you know, he's a cat that he got up for the game. But you know what? Seriously, it is a lot of hot air. And he points it out. And I think that's something that, you know, you got to understand. When these guys start talking all of that smack about being, you know, it being war and everything is going to be, you know, it's just the guns are going to be blazing. These guys, you know, they're kidding you. And here's the thing. A lot of them believe their own crap. Why am I saying this with this dopey music playing? That's our mailbag. The great Lenny Bruce, who I consider to be the greatest of all modern comics, he was a major influence on my career and my life. Listening to his comedy, because I never saw him, I had albums and tapes of Lenny Bruce. But he used to say, never believe your own crap. Never believe your own crap. And what he meant by that was, whatever you're pitching, don't start to buy it. And he was speaking strictly in terms of entertainment. Entertainers are entertainers. And when they start to spew a lot of this stuff, some of these guys start believing it. Some of these guys start thinking that they're tough. Some of these guys think that they're going into a war. Some of these guys think, I'm serious. Now, the guys that have been around a little bit longer than others, they realize it's just a basketball game, and it matters about as much to the life of the planet as any movie or any puppet show does. I mean, seriously, basketball, football, puppet shows, and organ grinders, they're all the same. They're just there to take our attention away from the problems that we've got for a few hours so we can have a couple of laughs. The problem with basketball players, as opposed to puppets, basketball players talk about going out and kicking ass, and I've never known a puppet to do that. And I've known a few. I've drank with a few of them. They're decent, decent pieces of cloth. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.